I want to concentrate on something this morning that I hope will be a blessing and will help us. I was actually behind on my reading a little bit, and I caught up yesterday morning, and I ran across something and began to think about it and pray about it, and it just seemed like the more I meditated on it, the bigger it got. Stand in reverence to the Word of God with me, please, and we'll read Psalm 117. It's a long chapter, so you bear with me. Amen. The Word of God said, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Let's read it out loud together. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Our Father, I want to thank You this morning, Lord, for each one that's come this way today. I ask You, dear Father, that You would speak to our hearts. I pray, dear Father, that Jesus would magnify His presence and help us in the service today. Lord, I know that sometimes when the clouds of life are hanging low, it's hard, Lord, to look above the shadows and hard to see. Lord, the sun is still shining. The Son of God is still on the throne. Lord, Your promises are still real. And Lord, it ain't going to be long. You'll look down and we'll hear You say, "Come up hither." Lord, until then, we know that Your grace will be sufficient for every trial, for every mile that we face down here. Help this pastor this morning to be a blessing to His precious people. Lord, peradventure there's someone here that don't know You. May this be the day God, You'd speak to their heart. They would respond in faith and trust Jesus to be their Savior. Lord, thank You for what You've done for us. Help us, we do pray. Lord, I pray especially for Brother Zeke and Sister Margaret this morning. God, that You'd lift them up, that You'd encourage them. Lord, for our dear Brother Brian, his wife, Sister Kim. Lord, for Lucio this morning, I pray for him. Lord, for our president and his wife, his family, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, we know that Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, there's an election coming up in November. Lord, I pray, even though man will vote, I pray, God, that not man's will would be done. Lord, but Thy will would be done. Lord, we may not even understand that right now. But Lord, You have a plan. You have a program. You had it before the foundation of the world. We pray, Lord, that that be executed in our land. Help us to repent, Lord, as a nation. Turn once again unto Thee and understand how much we need You, Lord. Lord, a lot of emphasis has been put on how we need the science and the scientists and the doctors. God, we thank You for them. But Lord, we're a nation that needs the Lord. We're a nation, our Father, that needs to return to the God of our fathers. Fall on our face, Lord, and acknowledge our sin. And Lord, acknowledge our need of Thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I probably should have done this before I read the text. Does anybody have any idea what the shortest verse in the Bible is? How many knows? Would you raise your hand? Okay, it's two words. What is it? Jesus wept. Amen. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Well, does anybody have any idea what the shortest chapter in the Bible is? I just read it. If I ask you this morning, before I read the chapter, does anybody have any idea what the middle chapter in the Word of God is? The middle chapter is the chapter that we just read together. There are 500, it is the 595th chapter in the Word of God, and there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me a minute. 1,189 chapters, so that means there's 594 chapters before this chapter. There's 595 chapters after this. I'm sorry, 594 chapters after this. So this is the 595th chapter in the Word of God. Here's what I'm going to preach on this morning. In the middle of it all. In the middle of it all. God has picked out something right here, these two little verses, and He put it right in the middle of it all. And I want you to know this morning, a church that would keep this in the middle of it all will be a healthy church. A family that would keep what I'm going to preach this morning in the middle of it all will be a healthy family. A nation that would keep these truths in the middle of it all would be a healthy nation. A person, you can desire, you can pray, but there's people in this world whose families aren't going to go with them. Their children aren't going to go with them. But you and I as individuals can determine that by the grace of God, we want these truths in the middle of it all in our life. This might be something that you may or may not understand. I'll get into it in a minute in an illustration. But as I preach this morning in the middle of it all, there's four things that I want to call your attention to. First of all, we need to magnify the middle. That's what I want to do in the service today, is magnify the little. I've actually, in marriage counseling, brought this up before. Jesus, if you could imagine a wheel, if you could imagine, say, a bicycle wheel, or if you could imagine a wagon wheel. My wife and I have one hanging on the front of our house. And it's rusty. It came out of an old field. And then we have another one. There's a couple of little blueberry bushes, and I drove a stake behind it, and it's just sitting there for decoration. But if you could just imagine in your mind maybe one of the old westerns and the wheel, you'll find that there's outside the rim. You'll find that there are spokes that run from the hub out to the rim. Some of you can, in your mind's eye, you can see one of the old westerns where they had trouble and run the wheel off, and you can see them taking a stick. How many's with me? And dipping it in some grease and putting it on that axle and putting that wheel back up. How many's with me this morning? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's speaking to my heart today about this. You know what's wrong in a lot of churches? Jesus is not the hub. He's a spoke. You want to know what's wrong in a lot of marriages? Jesus is not the hub. He's a spoke. He's just one little branch. Everything, beloved, listen, in the child of God's life, even as Brother Don so aptly preached in this pulpit a little while back, even our job, even our livelihood, everything ought to bring glory to God and ought to revolve around the hub. And that's Jesus right in the middle. Amen. The Word of God sets the stage with, oh, He's wanting to magnify the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. You say, preacher, I don't know why God would say that. I want you to think about something. Think about nations that are worshiping false gods. Somewhere, that nation turned their back on the real God, on the God of heaven. Beloved, listen, we all came from Adam. Say amen. And all the nations that come up through time, beloved, listen, they didn't just one day just wake up and say we're going to worship a false god. They turned their back on the living God. And I hate to say this, beloved, but listen, there have been administrations in our own country that have been more favorable towards the false gods than the God of the Bible. Magnify, he said. Magnify. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. You know what the Word of God said? He said, preacher, I don't know why I would say that to all the nations. All the nations are breathing. They're breathing God's air. They're drinking God's water. They're walking on the face of God's earth. A Word of God said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, let me say this. If that's true of all of God's living creatures, how much more so should it be of you and I that have been born again, that know him in the free pardon of sin, that know this morning we're heaven bound with the hammer down, amen, that we close our eyes in death, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints, and we're going to raise our eyes in the presence of the Lord Jesus. How much more so should you and I be magnifying him this morning? I want to magnify the middle. Turn back with me for a moment to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Listen to what the Bible said. I will bless the Lord sometimes. That's not what it says, is it? I will bless the Lord. How many knows there's going to be valleys in life? How many knows there's going to be some deep valleys? Some dark valleys. I believe the president in the last couple of days has went through a valley he's never seen before. You can only imagine where his mind is going. It's always going. You can only imagine the things that are running through his heart. What about his family? What about our nation? I want you to know this morning the Bible said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Everything that you and I are involved in ought to be exalting one way or another the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me. How many can say amen right there? Jesus come knocking on your heart's door. You sought the Lord while he could be found. He heard you. And the Word of God said, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. How many can remember when this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles? I'm telling you, if you've never seen yourself as a poor, lost sinner and come to the Savior of the world, you've never been born again. But if you have, how you ought to praise him. How you ought to thank him. In the middle of the Word of God, God said, there's something I want everybody to do. That's praise me. It's a happy day when somebody figures out that's why God created them. That's why God saved them, that they might bring honor and praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a travel trailer. Yesterday I was doing some research. Listen to me carefully. Let's go back to the hub. Let's go back to the Western. Nowadays, Brother Grizzle, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these on an airplane or not. I've never worked on a plane, toilet or otherwise. I've never worked on a plane. But nowadays they have something on the Dexter axles called Easy Lube. Used to, you had to, listen, just bear with me a minute. Some of the men will get something out of this anyway.
But used to, you had to pull the hub. Have you ever done that, Nick? Okay, you need to do that at least once in your life, Nick. Amen. And you pull the bearings out. I've seen my dad do it hundreds of times. And dad used gas. You say, why did he use gas? Because it's cheap. And you wash all the old grease out of the bearings. You get down in there and then you inspect the bearings. You roll them around those bearings, Brother Gary. You're with me, ain't you, brother? Thank God I'll preach to you a while. They need to be shiny, don't they, brother? If they've got grooves in them and stuff, that means there's already been a grain of sand or something in there or a chip of metal, and it's eating at that bearing. Planes got bearings on them, too. Don't they have to have on the wheels, Brother Gristle? And so I got the idea that I'll be going to Illinois next month and taking it out there. I got the idea that, well, I'm going to make sure those axles are greased, those bearings are greased. So I got on the Internet, what type of grease do you use? And I'm telling you, you can get 100 different answers on what type to use. But this is one thing I did learn. Not all the greases are compatible. In other words, you'd be better off to leave it alone as to put the wrong grease in there. Well, this Dexter Easy Lube just got a grease fitting on the outside of it, Brother Rose, and it's got a channel that goes in it and comes out through the bearings, and you can just pump the grease in. It'll force the old grease out, and you're done. You do need to jack it up and roll the tire while you're doing it. Is anybody bored yet? Let me say this to you. One guy on one of the forums said this, the easy answer, and he put a link. And the easy answer to all their questions was this, just go with what Dexter put in them to start with. Use their own grease. Hallelujah, I'm about to have a spell. You know what it is that keeps a family greased? You know what it is that keeps a church greased? You know what it is, beloved, that keeps a nation greased? It's none other than the blessed Holy Ghost of God. It's not trying to mix up the grease and put something else in there. Listen, He's the oil. He's the agent, listen, that helped Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. He was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness. He came back in the Spirit, and you and I can function in the Spirit as God's people as we keep Jesus in the middle. And let the Holy Ghost be the grease that keeps things running smoothly. Now listen, I'm not going to say a lot about this, but if you've been around the church very long at all, you've seen God's people biting and devouring one another. The Word of God speaks about it in the Bible. You know what happened? Somebody's pride got in the way. Amen. Somebody's going to have their way. They weren't concerned about Jesus' way. There was no Holy Ghost to oil the mechanism. Amen. Because when the Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what the Word of God said. The Word of God said, as much as possible, live peaceably among all men. I just want to magnify. He said, preacher, what'd you do about greasing the bearings? I just let that wheel down that I had jacked up. I sent my wife a link. She ordered the grease. And when it gets here, I'll put it in there, God willing. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you want to do? You want to be safe? Rather be safe than sorry? Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't want to be going down the road and look back there and the tire's on fire because the bearing didn't have the proper grease in it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You want a family to run smooth? When I was preparing this morning and last night and yesterday morning, actually, when God put this in my heart, I couldn't help but think about Hannah and Rusty. They're here this morning. I would have said this whether they were here or not. But I'm praying that they have a wonderful marriage. And I tell you what, if Jesus is just a spoke, it won't work. But if He's in the middle of everything they do, God will bless them. And the blessed Holy Ghost, amen. There are going to be differences. Rusty, have you had any differences yet? Praise God, you're honest, son. Amen. Amen. One of the best things you'll ever learn in life, Rusty, she's always right. Amen. Yeah, just picture her as the customer. The customer's always right. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not kidding about the middle. Right here in the middle of it all, God said we ought to praise him. Listen, not only do we see that we need to magnify the middle. You remember what Matthew 6:33 said? Seek ye the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. In other words, take care of the hub. And the spokes will take care of themselves. And you can roll on down the road for Jesus. And have a blessed marriage. Have a blessed life. Have a life that counts for the glory of God. Magnify the middle. The second thing I want to give you, by the way, one more thing quickly. I'm trying to move on. You remember when Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. You want to know why he did? Number one, because he was God incarnate. But number two, that's what was always on his mind. That's what was always on his heart. Preston, he's just thinking, I don't want to do anything to displease my Father. I want to do the will of God in my life. Magnify the middle. The second thing I want you to think about in the psalm, in the middle of all the middle, in the middle of all the verses, right here stuck in the middle, in Psalm 117, we need to magnify the middle. But secondly, I want you to notice the man in the middle. The man in the middle, it says, oh, praise. What's the next two words? The Lord. I thought about this, and, you know, y'all know me long enough to know my thought processes don't work like a lot of people's. But Brother Thurman, one of the first things I thought about when I was thinking about the man in the middle is the world today, they're doing their best, I'm talking about now in business, to eliminate the middleman. You know, furniture direct, carpet direct, Amazon, get on there and order it, it comes to your door. In other words, eliminate the middleman. Brother John, that normally means it's cheaper if you can eliminate the middleman. Because if it starts at a factory, then it goes to the middleman. The middleman has to make something to be in business. And so the world's philosophy is, let's do all we can to get around the middleman. I want you to know the Christian's philosophy, it should all together be different. You say, preacher, who's the man in the middle? It's the Lord Jesus. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. The Word of God said, oh, praise the Lord. I thought about the middle, Preston. Hallelujah. He hung on the middle cross between two thieves. And he's the one we need in our life to be right in the center of it all. The man, the Lord Jesus. You think about Paul. No wonder, the Apostle Paul. He said this. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto them. Paul knew, beloved, that he could not make it without the man in the middle. In the middle verses, the middle chapter in the Word of God, Psalm 117, God said, oh, praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question before I preach any further this morning. Where's he at in your life? Somebody said one time, I'll give you an illustration, said, of all the women in the world, said, my wife's at the top of the list. A wise old preacher said, honey, your wife better be the list. She better not be at the top of the list. She better be the list. You like that, don't you, Brother Wayne? Amen. You could have got you some points right there if you just patted her on the shoulder when I said that. You know, he did. Amen. You know what? Sometimes we think of serving God and like prioritizing. But I want to tell you this. He ought to be in the middle of every. The Bible said, "Do whether you therefore eat or drink, Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I wonder how many people, when they put their tithe and they put their offering into a basket, are thinking, the glory of God, the glory of God. I wonder how many people, when they sit down to a meal and they ask a blessing, are thinking, the glory of God, the glory of God. I wonder how many people, Brother Thurman, when they're traveling those miles of a morning to get to that job, are thinking, the glory of God, the glory of God. I just want to bring glory to my God today, amen. And when I get home, I want to bring glory to Him. When I lay down tonight, I want to bring glory to Him. When I'm eating, I want to bring glory to Him. When I'm making decisions, I want to bring glory to my God. I told someone last week, concerned about the singing and or the lack thereof right now in our church. I told him last week, I said, I believe the upper shepherd expects the under shepherd to take care of his sheep. And by the grace of God, that's what we want to do. You say, preacher, why? Because that's what brings glory to God. If we can get through this mess and not have to have a 6 or 7 foot box stretched out right here because of this mess, I'll shout glory. Glory to God. Listen, I believe God expects us to do what we can and then trust Him to do what we can't. You go out there in the middle of it all, my wife, she'll tell you, we haven't eaten out. A couple of times we have went through a drive-thru window. But we're not going to just go in and sit down. If you do, that's your business. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, I want to be here for God's glory. You say, preacher, you're just 60 years old. You're young. Yeah, well, you just get the news like I do over and over of people in their 50s that's died. Death is no respecter of person. I'm ready to go, but I'm not in a hurry to go. I want to serve God, like Brother Fred said, as long as I can. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. There's the man in the middle. The world's trying to eliminate him. Some nations have already eliminated him. I'm going to tell you what, it'd be a happy day when they get back on praying ground in Congress. It'd be a happy day, beloved, listen, when they get back on praying ground and understand when they come together, there's this side's will and this side's will. But what ought to be more important than anything is that side's will. I believe that. In the middle of it all, magnify the middle. I see man in the middle. But in the middle of it all, I want you to see something else. The Bible said, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. I think it's amazing that right in the middle of it all, God wants to show us His mercy. God is a God that's just. God is a God that's righteous. You and I, without Christ, we were a people that were unrighteous. We were a people that were unjust. We were a people that were lost. We were a people that were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy and His great love, wherewith He loved us. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. Turn to the book of Titus with me. Titus chapter number 3. Watch verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. By the way, one of the things that we need to never forget is what we were when He found us. Where we were when He found us. The Word of God said we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. That's a word I used with my pastor the night I was saved. My pastor met me in front of the communion table. Here's what he said. When I said, Pastor, I'm lost. I need to be saved. It shocked everybody except Jesus. It did shock him. It shocks me sometimes when people get saved, but it never shocks him. I looked at my pastor. I said, I need to be saved. He said, Rick, are you sure? The devil don't have you tripped up and deceived. He used that word. Here's what I said to my pastor, Brother Bud Wishon. I said, Brother Bud, I've been deceived for 27 years. That's why I have to stand here in this mess tonight. That's why I felt like I was standing in a mess up to here, about to drown in it. I said, would you get your Bible? I know I've told this story before, and if I live, I'll tell it again. We got in the altar on that side. His arm went around me. He said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, there's nothing worth dying going to hell over. You know what God did, Brother Gary? He showed mercy. You got sinners out there in the world sitting on the bar stool and drinking and drugging and whoremongering and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something right now. A sinner sitting on the church pew is going to the same hell. God, Brother Noel, had mercy on my soul that night. And God, right in the middle of the Bible, in the middle chapter, he said, don't ever forget there's somebody here. You're thinking of somebody. They're so far down the wrong road. It looks like there's no hope. But I want you to know God is on the throne, and he's still got mercy. Someone just turned to him. That publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God, right in the middle of it all. You know, listen to me. If you have any scruples about you at all, there's some things in this world that rub you the wrong way. Would somebody say amen? One of the things that's always rubbed me the wrong way is somebody's sorry. You mean, what do you mean sorry? I'm talking, you know what I mean, sorry. They wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. That's what my daddy used to say. Sorry. And I'm going to tell you what, God has mercy for a sorry individual. He can make a laborer in the kingdom of God out of that individual. The Word of God is talking about mercy. Right in the middle of it all, God has mercy. Oh, praise him, all ye land. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness. Turn with me to Psalm 107, please. You just have to turn back a little bit. Let me share this with you. Psalm 107. I didn't catch this until this morning when I read it again. Look at verse number 1. The Word of God said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. What's the rest of it say? For his mercy endureth forever. I believe with all of my heart there's something here. You don't celebrate the goodness of God apart from the mercy of God. Watch what he says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Would somebody just say amen? Are you redeemed? Have you been born again? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this like this or not. But that night when I was sitting there, the enemy had me. I mean, the enemy was talking to me. The enemy was trying to convince me that I'd be laughed out of the church. He was trying to convince me to dwell on what people were going to think inside and outside the church. My mom, my dad, my family. What are they going to think? The enemy, he had me. But thank God there's one bigger. There's one stronger than the enemy. And he plucked me out of the hands of the enemy that night and redeemed my never-dying soul. And the Word of God said, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. But look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look with him, if you will, on down at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. My point is this. You don't have all those other verses without verse 1 and the mercy of God. God had mercy on us. Watch this. In the middle of it all, we magnify the middle. There's a man in the middle, but thank God there's mercy in the middle. Watch this. Look at verse 43. Whoso is wise. How many of you would like to be wise? The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Look at verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Praise God for his loving kindness. Praise God for his mercy. Back over with me, please, to the book of Titus. The Word of God said, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to, say it with me, his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. Things that I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Right in the middle, that middle needs to be magnified. Right in the middle is the man, Christ Jesus. Right in the middle, there's mercy. There's mercy for whosoever will. If you're here today without Christ, you can have mercy. God, you say, preacher, I don't know if he has enough mercy. He has enough mercy to save the world. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Lamentations, the Word of God said this, I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I hope you found the Lord to be a faithful friend, as Brother Ralph sings about, because he sure is. The last thing in the message today, in the middle of it all, we magnify the middle. We see the man in the middle. Don't eliminate the middle man in your marriage. Let's never eliminate the middle man in our church. We're in danger in our nation of eliminating the middleman. We need that man. We need the Lord. And the last thing I want you to see is this. Look at verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. Can you say amen to that? Watch this now. I love this. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Right in the middle of it all is a message. God is saying, what I wrote before Psalm 117, what I wrote after Psalm 117 is all the truth. It's forever settled in heaven. It's never going to change. It endureth forever. Watch this now. The Word of God said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Bible said in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. How many knows what he was full of? Full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, Pastor, why would God put that right in the middle of it all? That ought to be right in the middle of every one of us's life. People need the Lord. We talked about that on Wednesday night. And we ought to understand, beloved, that their only hope of heaven is Christ. That would cause us to want to sing or live a life. Carol Robertson wrote a song years ago. The title of it, I Want the People to See Jesus in Me. I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want my life to be all God wants it to be. I want the people to see Jesus in me. Beloved, people come to church for many different reasons these days. But I tell you, we ought to come like that man that came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We need to see him. Need to see him in our families. Need to see him in our churches. Need to see him in our schools, in our communities, in our country. We need the Lord. In the middle of it all, there's the message that endures forever, the truth of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it bothers me when just ever so often somebody writes another Bible and they change the old Bible. And most of them have, listen to me carefully, an agenda. In other words, there's something in this Bible that they're wanting to get around. Well, let me tell you something. Everything that's in that Bible, ain't nobody going to get around it. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the doors. He said, I'm the door. Jesus didn't say, beloved, listen, he was one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. The way. I'm not a real educated man, but I'm glad the Bible speaks plainly. I'm glad I can understand when the Lord said, you must be born again. I'm glad I can understand when the Word of God said the wages of sin is death. And we've got a generation today that some way or another thinks that God is now sugarcoating sin. Let me tell you this. Because it's being sugarcoated in a lot of pulpits across America, does not mean it's being sugar-coated in heaven. What was sin when God wrote this Bible is still sin today. That's the truth. The truth that will endure forever. There's still a heaven to gain. There's still a hell to shun. In the middle of it all, I hope you'll go home and read this. I was picking on Rusty and Hannah a little bit. Rusty, in those bearings, if something foreign gets in there like a piece of metal or starts chewing on that bearing. Every man will have to learn to say this somewhere along the way. And this is just like putting the stick down in the grease and rubbing it on the axle so you can go on down the road. You'll have to learn to say, I'm sorry. We've got people in this world that are so full of pride. I'm talking about Christian people that will never utter the words, I'm sorry. I will tell you something. It'll grease the bearings. Things can roll smoothly. There are times when children are going to need to say to parents, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. There are times when parents are going to need to say to children, Honey, I'm sorry. It's quiet. But I believe God's got the grease gun out. And we need that grease. We need that lubrication that only the Holy Spirit can provide. I'll close with this. Miss Laura, if you'd get us a song, honey. Brother Ralph, if you don't mind, we won't sing as a congregation, but if you'd come up here and just sing us a song of invitation. I'm pretty sure Miss Laura can play it, whatever it is you're going to sing. If she can, I'll come over and help her. Years ago, my dad and I were working in a field on a sheep barn. We were cutting the wood with a chainsaw. There was no electricity out there, Brother Rose. We had skill saws, but we had us a frame and square and a big carpenter's pencil, and we cut everything with a chainsaw. We nailed everything by hand, Brother John. I can remember, I'm telling this just for fun, and I'll get to the point in a minute. I can remember that we had turned over a 50-pound box. Does anybody know what a pole nail is? They're about 4.5 inches, maybe 5 inches long, but we had turned that box of nails over in the grass. And I can remember my dad and I, we were down on our knees picking them up. And my dad had him a big handful, and the box was sitting between me and him. And Brother Grizzle, about the time my dad pitched them like that, I wasn't watching him. I pulled the box over to me. He threw them right back in the grass. Now, that was funny. We laughed about it. He did say, son, you can pick them up this time. That's what he said. My dad and I got into it one morning. I tell people, I didn't cuss my dad, but we got into it. You say, preacher, you didn't cuss your dad? No, I still have teeth. We got into it. I was about 26 years old, maybe 25, 26. I wasn't saved yet. But we got into it, Brother Larry. I went around on the other side of the barn. I didn't want to look at him. He went up a ladder on this side of the barn. I'll never forget it. I wasn't saved, but I had something called a conscience. I come around the barn, and I looked up there at my dad. He was aggravated. I was aggravated. I said, Dad, come down here. He's up on top of a 40-foot extension ladder. It wasn't extended all the way out. Probably 20 foot in the air. I said, Dad, come down here. He looked down. He said, What do you want? I said, Dad, just come down here. He said, What do you want, son? I said, Please, just stop what you're doing and come down here. He got down on the ground. I'll never forget it. I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, you've never done anything except work from daylight till 10, 11 o'clock at night, trying to put clothes on the back of 6 kids, trying to feed us. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, you've never done anything to deserve to be talked to the way I talked to you a while ago. And I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, God being my helper, I said, I'll never speak to you like that again. I'm glad I can say thank God. You say, preacher, you believe that people need to get right with each other? Yes! You know what God did, Brother Ralph? He stuck that stick down in that crease. That old devil was trying to tear me and my daddy apart. And Daddy lived to be 76 years old, and we never had a word again. He was one of my best prayer warriors, always praying for me. All because I'd be ashamed to sit here this morning and say I'd let a lost man do that, and I know Christ, and I wouldn't do it. Brother Sam, I just can't tell you what a relationship that I have with my dad. I miss him. But I'm glad I didn't have to stand there, Charity, and regret looking down in that casket. Because he left this world while we was at odds with each other. And I'm going to tell you, life is too short. Somebody needs to get a hold of the grease gun. Let the Holy Ghost pump some grease into that situation. Smooth out those bearings. Roll on down the road and give God the glory. Appreciate it. My wife, I sent Brother Brian We were going back and forth yesterday morning when God was dealing with me about the message. I sent him just a little brief outline. I didn't have the outline until this morning. And I said, now, Brother Brian, it might take me 30 minutes or so to say that. What I sent him, you could probably read in 30 seconds. My dad would call on Sunday afternoon. He'd say, what'd you preach on this morning, son? And I'd tell him, Brother Grizzle. I'd hang the phone up and my wife would say, how come it took you an hour to say that this morning? I said, honey, you don't understand. That was the Reader's Digest condensed version. God's good, ain't he, Brother Rose? In the middle of it all, if we take these two verses, put them on the refrigerator, put them on her phone, put them in her pocket, and memorize them and just say, by the grace of God, right here's where our marriage is going to keep the Lord in the middle of it all. Mercy in the middle of it all. The truth in the middle of it all. Let's stand to our feet this morning.